Lieutenant Governor Sabina Matos, welcome back to the Publix Radio.
Thank you, Ian. I'm glad to be back here.
You became Rhode Island's Lieutenant Governor in April. You have been continually at the side of Governor Dan McKee. You've traveled throughout the state. I know you've spoken with a lot of Rhode Islanders. What have you accomplished in your time as Lieutenant Governor?
I had the opportunity to meet individuals throughout the state of Rhode Island, and also visit and get to know places of the state of Rhode Island that I have not had the opportunity to visit before. I have to tell you that this has been a great opportunity for me to advocate for housing. Housing has been always an area of that I have had a lot of interest in my role in before in the city of Providence. And now, on this role, I have been able to continue to advocate for affordable housing, for workforce housing, and for housing at all income levels.
Let me stop you there, because as you know, some people in Rhode Island like to question whether we really need a lieutenant governor. The budget of the office is roughly $1 million a year. As far as tangible accomplishments, can you really point to tangible accomplishments in your time as lieutenant governor since last April that demonstrate or justify the value of the lieutenant governor's office?
Well, I will have to ask you what your definition of tangible would be. I believe that my role as lieutenant governor has been very important and crucial on advocating at the state level for the different issues that are affecting our community. I was talking to you about housing in the work that I had been doing advocating for housing, but also I had been working closely with the governor to make sure that we are bringing the vaccines and and addressing the response to the COVID pandemic to every community, making sure that every community is being attended to. So there are so many other things that we can do with this role that I have been doing. There are so many more things that I'm going to be doing with this role. And probably you will find it tangible enough at that time.
There are even some supporters of the McKee administration, like State Senator Louis De Palma, who believe the administration gave preferential treatment to a state contractor known as the ILO Group. That was after Channel 12 reported this week that a top ILO Group official worked with a close confidant of Governor McKee on the outline of a potential state contract days before that confidant encouraged state officials to consider hiring the ILO Group. Why did the administration give this preferential treatment to the ILO Group?
So, Ian, many of these things that you're referring to happened before my appointment as the lieutenant governor. So I was not...
If I could stop, I understand that this happened before your appointment as lieutenant governor, but nonetheless, it reflects on the administration. You, as you say, you are a partner to Governor McKee, and this is an issue for the administration. I'm sure Governor McKee's Democratic rivals will make a lot of mention of this during the election year that we're in now. So what do you say to critics who ask, why did the ILO group get this preferential treatment?
I will say to those critics that I believe that the governor and his office follow all procurement laws and that the contract was justified given the severity of the pandemic and the governor's interest and passion on looking for what is the best option for our kids. That no one can deny that Governor McKee has been prioritizing the education of our kids since he was at the local level in Cumberland. And I believe that his office followed all the procurement laws.
On the pandemic, your administration has been encouraging testing, and we can agree that that is important. The trend line is good as far as the number of infections falling in Rhode Island and some other nearby states. Nonetheless, there is a significant segment of the population in Rhode Island and other states that has not gotten fully vaccinated or boosted, so that raises the possibility of a new variant causing problems. What is your administration doing to ensure that that segment that has not yet gotten fully vaccinated or boosted will do so?
The priority, what we're doing right now, is just making sure that the vaccine is ready and available for anyone who wants to get the vaccine. Secondly, we continue to bring the message out to the community that the best way, the best option that we have to fight this pandemic is to get vaccinated. And I'm aware that there are many individuals that don't believe that the vaccine is the right choice for them. Still, I'm not giving up. I'm continuing to bring the message. I'm convinced, I believe that the vaccine is the best tool that we have to fight this pandemic. And I continue to bring that message throughout the community. And the priority that we're doing is making sure that the vaccine is available for that time when those individuals decide, yes, I'm going to get the vaccine. I want to make sure they have it available and close to them.
This is an election year, and you faced at least one Democratic opponent for election as lieutenant governor in the primary this September. That's State Senator Cynthia Mendez. She says there's too much cronyism at the State House. She says if elected, she would support a Green New Deal, universal health care, sweeping criminal justice reform. What makes you the better choice for lieutenant governor?
I agree with many of the things that she has been talking about that you just mentioned in there. I believe that the difference would be is how we go about to accomplish that. Being in the Senate, the senator had an opportunity to work with her colleagues and make big progress in these areas. I think that for us, it's going to be a different approach of how we go on getting things done. We are in a democracy. We work in order to get things accomplished for the residents of our state. We have to work with our colleagues. We have to work with other members in government. We're not a dictatorship in which you can get things accomplished just because it's the thing you believe should happen. So I think the difference between us would be our approach on how we go to get things done.
Governor McKee was in the news last week for saying it was a mistake for him to issue a proclamation in support of school choice. Your two kids started out in charter schools. Why should other parents not have a greater degree of choice as to where they send their kids to school? What would you say?
Right now, one of my kids go to charter. My other child goes to the Providence Public School. I'm glad I'm able to have the options and the choice to decide where I want to send my child. And I believe that other parents should have the same options that I have. I cannot tell you that it's good for me and it's not good for your, it's good for my kids and it's not good for your kids. I'm happy to have this opportunity to have one of my child in the Providence, traditional Providence public school. And I'm also have another one in one of the charter schools.
If that kind of choice is a good thing, why did Governor McKee rescind his proclamation in support of school choice?
Governor McKee is on the record as being a supporter of school options. I don't see anything I don't think that means anything different than what he has already a track record of supporting the choices for the school choices.
You are the former president of the Providence City Council, so let's discuss some Providence issues. As we know, there's a ticking time bomb due to the long-term pension obligation of the Providence pension. Mayor Lorza came out with another proposal recently to issue a bond to try to address that. Do you support the mayor's proposal?
Very encouraged to see the changes that the mayor has to his proposal. I was not as supportive of the first plan that he had submitted. I'm still evaluating his proposal. I believe that the number is more manageable right now. There is something that we have to think about at state of Rhode Island. I'm not speaking right now as a resident of the city of Providence, but I'm speaking as a resident of the state of Rhode Island. And it's that Providence is the capital city for the state. And we have to make sure that Providence is successful, because a lot of the other things that happen at the state are going to be dependent on whether Providence is successful, yes or no, being the capital city. So I think it's time for us to really take the time to analyze if this is the right proposal for us to support. One of the things that I like about this latest proposal from the mayor is that he's planning on going to the voters for approval. I think that it's important to have the voice of the voters also in the decision making about the future of the city. But we cannot ignore anymore the big challenge that the city of Providence is facing with the pension liability and the consequences that will bring to the whole state.
Who are you supporting in the race for mayor in Providence?
I'm staying out of the race for mayor in Providence. I think that we have some very good choices right now in the individuals that are running for office. I'm not endorsing anybody.
There's been some talk in recent months of possibly using a public subsidy, tens of millions of dollars, to bring a fresh use to the so-called Superman building in downtown Providence. Do you support that sort of public subsidy?
I support making sure that we get the building back to life. And I cannot tell you right now, I'm convinced it's going to require some type of support, public subsidy. I cannot commit right now to any specific amount. We're still looking at the different proposals and plannings that are coming, but I know that it's going to require some support from the state, from the city, that is not other way around it. The question will be how much.
I can't let you go, Lieutenant Governor, without asking you about snow and some of the recent complaints about the snow cleanup in Rhode Island. There were some gripes about how the city of Providence was clearing the streets, also how some business or other institutions were not cleaning sidewalks outside their properties. What will it take for the city and these different entities to do a better job clearing snow when we do have these big snowstorms from time to time?
One of the things that we could do, and that I'm looking forward on working with the different municipalities now in this role, is we need to find solutions about how to deal with issues in municipalities like the snow, looking at it with a more statewide perspective. I think this is a great opportunity for us to work more as a region and approach the problem as a more of a state of Rhode Island problem, because it's not, we are so small, we cannot just think about how Providence is gonna handle this. We have to think about how other municipalities are gonna be handling that. So I think there is an opportunity here for us to collaborate among the different municipalities and maybe find ideas and solutions about how other cities and other the country handle this snow. I'd be so curious to see how we can learn some of the strategies from places like Montreal.
All right, that's all the time we have, so we need to leave it there. Lieutenant Governor Sabina Matos, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Ian. Thank you for this opportunity.
As usual, you can find a lot more on our website at thepublicsradio.org. I'm Ian Donis.